This is a special message. I believe that all of us need a reset button. Anyone knows that when a computer or a phone or a gaming system starts acting up, not according to design, it's just best to start over. Our nation is not functioning according to its design. My heart is grieving for America. You know, every revival, every move of God, a lot of people say it begins with repentance, and it's not really true. Every revival begins with God. God reaching down to us. But immediately, there has to be a response from the people. God started with John the Baptist and saying, hey, the kingdom of heaven is near. He is coming. He is coming. And immediately when that happened, there was major warfare going on. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Anytime God is going to move on the earth and among a people, there's going to be a lot of warfare. There's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of hexes being spoken against us. There's a lot of demonic things going on. And you and I need to be aware of that, because that is happening at our individual level, at the family level, at the community level, but it's also happening at our national level. We're seeing it in our government. We're seeing it in the news. That it's like sharks that smell blood. And there's a lot of warfare going on. It's surrounding our nation's capital. But it's because God is going to move. There's a people that are seeking God. There's always a remnant, the Bible tells us. God always keeps a people close to his heart. And just when we think that things are too bleak, God moves again. My heart is grieving for America today. I firmly believe that God has a special covenant with two nations, Israel and America. Israel is God's chosen people, a people whose covenant with Abraham was ratified in a special way to King David when he said in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, listen up. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him. Hallelujah. As I took it from Saul, whom I removed from you, from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And this was speaking of Solomon, his son. Yes, Solomon built a physical house and a kingdom, but another son of David, Jesus, built a spiritual house and kingdom. And the Bible tells us that God will never completely reject Israel. I don't have time to develop that, but you can look at Romans chapter 11 for further information on that. However, we know from the Bible that Israel's king sinned and the nation split. They were not rejected, because he had promised that, but they needed a reset button. My first point for today is that the reset button is repentance. The reset button for you, for your family, for this community, and for our nation is always repentance. True repentance. Now, before Solomon and his son Rehoboam sinned gravely, and God did chastise the nation because of them. Right before that, Solomon cried out once more, and God made this decree of his everlasting mercy for Israel. And he gave him this proposition. Listen up. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 18. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight. And I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. A covenant is a contract that has conditions. And God has said, I will never truly reject you, my people. But if you, as a nation, walk away from me, you stop heeding my word, then I will chastise you because I love you. And I will let you run into trouble. So the nation split, and they were not rejected, but they were chastised. But the reset button, God was saying, is not far away. The reset button was repentance. Dozens of kings later, the bowl of wrath filled up upon Israel and Judah, and eventually they were taken into captivity. They lost their freedom. And I hope you're listening with spiritual ears. They lost their identity. They lost their language. And thousands upon thousands of their sons and daughters died at the hand of their enemies. And many became slaves. But 70 years later, God moved upon a man of influence, Daniel, to hit the reset button. He began to repent as if he were the nation, as if he represented a whole nation, taking unto himself the sins of all the people. And this is where we come in, where we need to reset the button, or hit the reset button, much like Daniel did in chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 and then 16 through 19. And just hear the grieving heart of Daniel. He said, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. You know, the Bible never records any wrongdoing by Daniel. I'm sure he had sinned, but there's nothing recorded. We see a lot from David, you know, even Moses. But we never see anything of Daniel. But yet he says, we have sinned. He didn't say, they have sinned, God. Those guys at DC, they are sinning. These people around me, they're sinning, God. Thank God I'm not like them. Remember that story? We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill, Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. We often talk of the founding fathers as those who were around the time of the War of Revolution, or those who drafted the Declaration of Independence, or maybe even those as late as the Civil War. But I want to go back to the original founding fathers who were part of the first colonies of New England. Among them was a godly man who was both a pastor and a governor. Talk about a theocracy. His name was John Winthrop. This Puritan lawyer said this in a famous message to the colonies. And here's an excerpt, and I recommend that you look at it in its entirety. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies, when he shall make us a praise and glory that men shall say of succeeding plantations, may the Lord make it like that of New England. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. From the beginning, the covenant with America was conditional too. There's no nation as giving as America. There's no nation that has sent as many missionaries as America. From the beginning, this has affected the foreign policy. This very message, city on a hill, is quoted from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said it, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. But he's saying, if we do these things, he was saying, I don't feel that we're here by coincidence. God brought us here to this land to do a special work. Somebody calls it the great experiment of a free nation that only bordered by water, that can't be touched but by ships. Isn't that crazy? Geographically, we're so blessed. We only border two nations, Canada and Mexico. And God has used this nation in mighty ways throughout history. But if history repeats itself, it will come to an end. Now God, as we have been studying, his decreed will not fall flat. He will do everything he intends to do. But he can do it the easy way, or he can do it the hard way. He can do it with a little bit of glory from America, or he can do it with shining glory from America. And you think, who are we? We're just but a small people. Maybe like Daniel, I'm just but one man. I'm just one family. I'm a baby Christian. We have lost our design, we have lost our function, and we need to be reset as a nation. Point number two. True repentance is only brought by the hearing of the word and by the convicting work of the Spirit. After those 70 years of captivity, they returned to Jerusalem and to the land of Judah. And you know what? They had lost their knowledge of the word. The word hadn't been taught. Some many of them had even lost their language. They had learned Persian and the language of the Babylonians. But when they came back, the leader said, "Hey, look, we need to hear the word again. We need to go back to the word." God's standard, let me tell you, has not changed. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The progressive movement is about slowly erasing and eroding the Judeo-Christian and biblical teachings. And all of us, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, have fallen trapped to it. We're slowly been losing ground. And the standard is getting lower and lower in our hearts. We accept much more unrighteousness around us than we used to before. But the leaders here compelled everyone to come together as they returned. And they said, "Come on, we're going to hear the word." And it tells us about it in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. And look at this. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructed, the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God." And it said, "Do not mourn or weep." But why did they say that? Because of the next sentence. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Repentance cannot come unless you know what the standard is. Unless you know that what God's holy standard is. And you need to hear it. And that's why the Bible tells that we need to teach it and speak it to one another, to our children. When we're at the table, when we're walking along the way, then we need to put it in our arms and in our foreheads. We need to encourage one another with the word of God because we cannot forget the standard. But you also need the Holy Spirit. Now let me just say, some people know the word and they disregard it. But others just, it's because it will cease to be taught to them like it is in public America. But it was not so at the beginning. Look at John 16:8. It says, "And when he has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and this is Jesus speaking, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And as I look at the state of the union, something is clearly and foundationally wrong with America. And we are accelerating towards a godless, progressive left, socialist, pluralistic society where intolerance is only applied to anything connected to the Bible, Judeo-Christian values, and anything that challenges moral relativism. My heart grieves for America. And let me give you a recount. In the past month, a scandal riddled the news about the Catholic Church in Pennsylvania, where so many children have been abused, but it's been covered up. At the same time, a prominent pastor whom I have respected for a long time brought shame upon evangelicals by the cover-up of his own sexual sins, now on display on prominent news outlets across America. There's a website, numberofabortions.com. I encourage you to look at it. It estimates that over 2,300 abortions were performed yesterday. Since 1973, listen. 60,600,600 abortions have been performed in the U.S. 8,216,060 have been performed by Planned Parenthood since 1980. Worldwide, since 1980, 1 billion, let me say that again, 507,837,800 abortions as of last night. Since 1973, 18,212,280 black babies have been aborted in America. The blood of the innocent cries out from the ground. And the bowls of wrath are filling up on America. Sexual sin, from porn to incest to homosexuality to rape to pedophilia, they're all all-time highs. Our nation is politically divided, right down the middle. Both sides believe that their brand of government has the answer, but none realizing that only God can keep the republic from splitting like Israel and Judah. God gave this nation a wonderful document called the Constitution. It was so special that other nations tried to copy it, but it didn't work. Let me just read some to you because I forgot to put it on my notes, but I kept it on my wallet. I already showed this to somebody this week. This is from our prayer time on Friday morning. I believe that Pastor Chuck Carlson put this together. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." I think I need to say that again. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So when we see the confirmation hearings going on and all the bickering, people jockeying for presidential runs, it's because they don't have the fear of God in their hearts. Just 2 weeks ago, a 30-year-old pastor, married with three beautiful children, committed suicide in Chino Hills, California, right on church premises. Suicide and hopelessness plague our youth. Why? Because our protection is slowly being removed. The hand of God that was holding back the attacks of our enemies. The shield about us that we prayed about has been slowly removed. It's still there, but it's slowly fading. Now there will always be a Goshen. His people will always be blessed and protected. And we may suffer, but not like the world does, because we have him. We've always had guns, but something's changed. Now people are using them to shoot up churches and to shoot up schools. Universities have become the left centers where they indoctrinate our young people and doing a better job than we do at home. There's an unprecedented attack on the Bible. Listen, the people wept because they were convicted by the Holy Spirit what was on this book. God has protected this book. If it was the only legacy that God would have for us, you think he would let it be changed? He would let it become bastardized? He would let it become something else? Something that wouldn't show who Jesus was so we could be saved? Jesus himself has protected this book, so you and I can have it. But it's important that we read it. It's important that we, you know, make a habit of it and that we read it to our children. It's so important. There's an unprecedented attack against it. California recently passed Assembly Bill 2943, which was very astutely crafted. It didn't specifically ban the sale of Bibles, but it said anything that can be used to counsel people against gender, you know, identity or anything where, hey, I'm having some issues with my sexuality, and you try to tell them, well, you know, here's the Bible, or if it's preached from the pulpit, You know, that was just one stepping stone. So the next level would be to prohibit the use of the Bible and the preaching against anything that's against LGBTQ plus agenda. The great literary magazine, GQ, that's Gentleman's Quarterly, earlier this year, wrote an article, 21 books you don't have to read. 21 books you don't have to read. The Bible is number 12 on their list. Since when did GQ become the standard of what we should read or not? There's an attack against our land in different ways. 1,200 homes and 1.2 million acres have been burned in Northern California. 1,200 homes. Hurricanes and volcanoes hit in Hawaii. I mean, I don't have time to get into all that. We are in a spiritual war, people. Nothing happens in the natural that is not started in the spiritual. There's massive warfare. There's massive demonic attack and witchcraft, which are designed to topple our nation, to break up the republic. But my last point, point number three, and I'm coming close to the end. Repentance holds back the wrath and releases mercy. Hallelujah. We think that our God never gives us what we deserve. Hallelujah. None of us have ever gotten what we deserve. We've always gotten, you know, better than we deserve. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in serious trouble, people. If you are here, it's because God wants you to hear this message and take it to heart, and for you to be reset, and for you to reset this church with me, and for you to reset this community with me, and for us to start a grassroots approach that will reset our nation. We can't tell, you know, the people at our nation's capital what to do, or even our state capital what to do, but we can start the change right here. Like a pastor once said, we're not waiting for a move of God, we are the move of God. We are the move of God. The reset button is repentance. Only repentance. The kind that has true transformation. 180 degree turn in our behavior. The kind that drives us to our knees. That can turn the tide back. We're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. We must repent of our personal sin. Our family sin. Our community sin. And our national sin. I was taught that as a leader, if I struggle with something, you guys will struggle with it doubly. And if I do something good, you will do half as good. So if I want you to read a chapter a day, then I better be reading two chapters a day. But if I have hidden sin in my life, it's going to propagate into the community. So we must watch the manner in which we walk. But I'm not the only leader in this house. Each one of you as parents, you're wanting your children to get better, but are you holding the standard high? Are we holding the standard high in our homes? Are we walking holy before God? Are we repenting daily? Are we seeking God for our children? The Bible says that it always starts, repentance and judgment always starts in the house of the Lord. It looks bleak right now, but God, we serve a God of mercy. It is amazing that even now God is at the edge of his seat, desiring to forgive, to extend his mercy to anyone who will reach out because he wants a family. He doesn't desire that anyone should be destroyed, that anyone should come into wrath, but he desires that all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible teaches. He's wanting to pour out his mercy and to hold back and to forget the sins. And if we will just repent, if we will just repent as a nation, if we'll repent as individuals and as families, that God will forgive us. And the Bible says that our sins are put at the bottom of the sea, that are taken as far as the east is from the west, if we will repent. It starts with you and it starts with me. So today we're going to end with a time of repentance. And I'm calling everyone that can, to come to the altar. If you have physical challenges, then I ask that you come towards the front and take a seat. But I'm going to ask in a few moments that all of us would come and kneel at the front. And we're going to spend some time repenting before God. This is the way that God spoke it to me, and I just want to be obedient. I'm asking for you to be obedient with me. God has chosen Shiloh to be a light, to be a beacon in this community. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. We have to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Let me give you some verses that are going to help you as we proceed. Romans chapter 5, verses 20, and I'm only going to read the last part. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Yes, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Hallelujah. The greatest revival happened in the most secular of societies, where the tide was the worst. There's a huge revival going on in China. There's a huge revival going on in the Middle East. There's a huge revival going on in Africa. Hallelujah. There's even a revival happening in places in Europe where it's so secular. Why? Because where sin abounds, grace abounded even more. Hallelujah. Because God is designed to pour out His mercy. Joshua 24:15, this is for your families. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, hallelujah, that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I declare my mind belongs to God, my body belongs to God, and my spirit belongs to God. I'm not my own, but I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I live in the flesh, I live it in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I finish with this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which we already said. If my people, come on, say it with me, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is our everlasting promise from God until we go to heaven. Hallelujah. Will you come to the altar and repent with me? God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. Just be expecting amazing things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Probably more times like this in the future. Hallelujah. Amen.